Pittsburgh section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. The interviewers are Selma Weiss and Sylvia Sachs. It's May 20th, 1994. We are interviewing Sophie Maslow. Sophie, would you please tell us your address?
Yes, 6315 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, 15217.
We came to get an update from the last interview, which was before you became mayor, and it's been a long time. So let's get up to date. Let's talk about what you're doing presently now.
Well, I thought maybe it'd be better to start the day that Dick Caligiuri died.
Fine.
It absolutely was the most devastating day of my life, because while I knew Mayor Caligiuri was not well, and I spoke with him almost every day, matter of fact, I spoke with him the day that he died, he came to the office every day. And he would call me to come over, and we would have lengthy discussions generally, and I never thought he was going to die. And of course, when they called me that night, he said that he died, and to be ready the next morning at 9:30 or 10 o'clock to be sworn in. I was absolutely devastated. I just thought, how am I ever going to handle this responsibility? And so, I of course, as you know, I did. I was sworn in the next morning. I tried very, very hard, and I've had editorials saying that they thought that the transition went very well, that things moved very smoothly. I didn't do anything drastic in the first few months. I sort of felt my way, although I was totally familiar with city government. I sort of felt my way for many, many months. Since then, of course, I ran for a full term after I served a year and a half, the unexpired term of Mayor Caligiuri. I ran for a full term and was elected by the people of Pittsburgh, and I considered it an incredible honor. Never lost sight of that through my whole career. Of course, like any person in public office, and we see it happen all the time, you really are under a microscope, and that's not just the cliche. And no matter what you do, there's always 20 people who said you should have done something else. However, I used my best judgment. I tried to be compassionate. This is probably one of my failings. I tried to be compassionate. My first interest was always with the average person. I was always concerned about garbage pickup, about potholes, about street signs, about keeping the streets clean. All of these things were utmost importance. I did, of course, in my career, do many major things that required a lot of work and a lot of concentration and a lot of plotting. I had a very difficult time trying to get the May Company to give up Gimbel's. When I left office, I was still in the process of trying to get the businesses along Fifth Avenue from Grad Street to Smithfield Street to commit to fixing up their parts of the sidewalks under which there were what they called the vaults, but they were really the basements of many of these buildings. When I left, I didn't do that. I was not able to finish that job. I was very happy with the job I did at Crawford Development. We built several thousand units, and when I left, practically everyone that was finished was occupied.
Where was Crawford?
That's in the Hill District, right above the Civic, right above the arena. I was so pleased that I was able to do that, because that was the first major project that had been accomplished in Pittsburgh in 50 years. It devastated me, because there was all that beautiful land so close to downtown being wasted. And I continuously thought about the potential of that area, being close to town and being on the tax rolls and providing homes for people. I finally accomplished that. That took a lot of doing. I'm trying to think of some other projects, but many things. The switch and signal in Second Avenue. The city invested in the early years huge amounts of money in putting in sewer lines and fixing up Second Avenue with the hope of using all that ground for industry. We were unable for years to get anybody interested. Pitt built a research building, just the one building, but all the rest of the ground was not used. And I believe that while we have become somewhat of a social service center with the transplant and union of the city, transplant major of the country in Pittsburgh, our huge research being done by the universities and our universities growing every day, I still felt that we needed industry. And that was a perfect area for it. I finally was successful in getting Union Switch and Signal to build on that site. And if you go by there now, you can see all that was done. There was a lot of little things that concerned me. We tried, you see, the city of Pittsburgh never wanted to be in the real estate business. That was never our problem, a thing that we wanted. However, when people abandoned properties and walked away from them, we were stuck with them. It goes without saying that if the property was worth anything, they would not have been abandoned in the first place. So that there really, it was nothing to sell. And even to, and we had periodic sales of property, but with an all-over picture, nobody bought them because they weren't worth anything in the first place. And so every year we had a sale. And so we embarked on a program of trying to rehab a lot of buildings. And we did many of those. We got money from the federal government, and we did many rehabs in neighborhoods. And we put a lot of money into houses in the neighborhoods that probably will never see any big results. But at least it took a lot of those dead properties off the tax rolls, put them on tax rolls, and provided some homes for them. There's a lot to be done along those lines, but there simply is not enough money. For many reasons, we have to demolish these properties first. And in the city budget while I was there, we allocated a certain amount of money every year to demolish some of these eyesores. Now, we weren't able to do all we wanted, but there's still many more that has to be done. And it was a day-to-day housekeeping job, watching the budget, watching the expenditure, and taking advantage of every program that was offered by the federal government, by the state. Crime, of course, was getting worse as the years went on. In the beginning, Pittsburgh didn't have a crime problem compared to other cities. But as time went on, other people thought it was a fertile field, and they came. So the crime became a major project in the city, and we took advantage of every grant that every foundation offered, that every federal government, state government offered. We tried every program that was offered to the city in the way of teenage pregnancies and drug abuse, everything that came down the line. That was one of my big regrets. I started neighborhood police stations in the 67 neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. We rented storefronts so that there would be a policeman there so that the people in the neighborhood could go and talk to somebody if they had a problem. It's been implemented by the present mayor, but we began that program because we thought that maybe it would give the people a feeling of security in some neighborhoods if they knew there was a police station close by. So we started that program. Day to day, we had every day we had started a program. We started a program of smoke prevention, smoke detectors in homes, where we offered them to anybody that couldn't afford one. All they had to do was go to their police station, and they would be given one free, and often the firemen would go and install one for them. The responsibility then rested with the people to see that they were operative. And many times they didn't, but it was something to try to see if we couldn't help. If we saved one life, we considered it important. And there were so many little day-to-day things that we tried that worked and some didn't, but we tried. And when I finally left office, I felt that I didn't leave anything undone. I felt that I tried everything. Obviously, there was a lot more that could have done, but of course we had budgetary restraints. There were lots of things we couldn't do. But I believe that I brought to the city of Pittsburgh something that they had not had before. And in one of the editorials written by one of my biggest detractors, and I kept that editorial because he said that he felt that I left the city better than when I found it.
Who was that writer?
Craig. And it was an editorial which I kept. And you know, he never said one good thing about me in the 20 years that I was in office. I know, that's how I felt. And you know, it's a funny thing, is off the record. Anytime I went to any place where his wife and daughter was there, we just loved each other. But I never could convince him.
The strip district was really built up very well.
That was another area that I just loved. I used to go there to shop in the morning, and I just thought it had tremendous potential. And so I concentrated on doing things there. We tried to fix up the streets. And we tried to work with the merchants and make some streets one way and limit parking, things like that. But because it's such an old neighborhood and so congested and not enough parking, which is the problem everywhere in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's an old city. When they built businesses and built houses, they had no cars, so they had no use for a garage. Now some families have 2 or 3 cars. And we know that parking is a problem in Pittsburgh, and it's a problem downtown as well.
But I think that the strip district really has been improved greatly in the past 5 years or
so. Well, because I encouraged it so much. I used to go there myself, and I encouraged them. And anytime anybody opened a business in the strip, the Olive Garden for one, anyone that opened a new business, I was Johnny on the spot telling them how wonderful it was to have them there, because it's such a great neighborhood and so many people go there.
Yeah. What about the City Pride?
I felt very badly about City Pride. I personally talked to bankers to invest in City Pride because there were all those people who were laid out from Braun Bankery. We got a commitment from Giant Eagle to buy all of their bread. However, the competition was keen, extremely keen. They just couldn't compete, and it went under with a great loss. And I was sorry because I put a lot of effort into that. I went to personally call the banks and asked them to invest, even though I had reservations. When I go to the supermarket and I'd see 1,000 loaves of bread there, I think what we need is another one.
But
because all those people needed the jobs and were willing to come, and they hired a lot of people that were on relief to work there. I thought, well, let's try. As I said before, we tried practically everything. Now, I can't see it succeeding now because it's changed hands and the new owner couldn't make it go over either.
Let's talk about the baseball stadium to-do. That was a big to-do.
Well, when I was in council, the city invested $20 million into the Pirates. Then they had something like
20 million?
20 million is what we put into it originally. They had, I think, They had about 12 investors who invested $2 million each in the Pirates. For some reason, those 12 people never wanted to take in any other investors. They kept it as a closed corporation. Most of them were businesses, the Carnegie Mellon, PNB, Mellon Bank, each of them. There were very few private owners. Gene Lippman was one of them. It was a private owner, but by and large, they were all companies in Pittsburgh who invested the money. Through the years, the Pirates simply couldn't make it go of it because I was told they didn't have a big enough market to draw from. They also couldn't get the help that they needed from the cable contracts that were given out by the big teams who seemed to control this whole thing. Now when I left, they contended all along that Mayor Pellegrini had promised them another $4 million. Well, there was no way that I was going to take $4 million of taxpayers' dollars. And one of the things that bothered me were the huge salaries that were paid the players. Now, it's a vicious circle. If you want a winning team, you have to have good players. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you want to pay big wages to have good players? to have a winning team, or do you want to have a losing team in small pay? I mean,
I think there should be a law against.
Well, of course, pay. Sure, we all agree to that. However, that's the fact. Mm-hmm. Now, also, we were all aware that the Pirates were part of the things that made Pittsburgh the amenities that people wanted to live in Pittsburgh for, so that because of the cultural center, the ball team, and the spinoff. So that when I left, it was really a dilemma as to what to do about it. But I think now the present mayor is going to invest another $8 million of city money to the Pirates. And I know positively, 2 years from now, they'll come back and they'll want another $1 million. So I don't have a solution. I don't know what I would have done if I had been there given all of these things. But I would have hesitated to invest more taxpayers' dollars, $8 million, into the Pirates. While all of these things are important, the spin-off business, the amenities that people find in Pittsburgh that they like, all of these things are important. But you've got to balance it. So I can't say now what I would have done, because when you have a big thing like that, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on all sides. So I can't say what I would have done. But I know it's a dilemma, and it's one of the problems that I faced the 6 years that I was there. After that, and we fought the whole 6 years.
What year did you become mayor?
So that, you know, I don't know what I would have done. And the whole 6 years that I was mayor, I did nothing but fight with the Pirates, because they wanted, they said that Caligiuri committed another $4 million. That was a promise that he made. Well, nowhere in writing did it say that I was committed to do this. This was a verbal agreement, they said. And while several people said they knew we made it, I just wasn't going to commit it. So that I ended up being on the S list of the Pirates. I would not commit another $4 million.
What about the proposal that you made one day about the smaller stadium, and everybody laughed, and now it's a big deal?
Well, let me tell you what happened there, and I ended up in all kinds of troubles. The state legislature, state house, had that week committed something like $8 million to the city of Philadelphia to build a convention center without any strings. And at that point, I had been talking to several sports people who said that the present stadium was not good for baseball, and that we could build a complex that would attract a lot more people, and it would be a good idea. And so I said, let's suggest it. Well, it absolutely was the wrong thing to do. The timing was bad, because I practically was impeached. But I thought it was a good idea, and as it turned out, both Cleveland and Baltimore, who built the stadiums, are doing so great that it might have worked out for Pittsburgh. Now, I had no definite plans. I wanted to pursue it. I had no idea where we would put it or what we would do, but I thought it was something we should pursue. But everybody was so mad about it that I dropped it like a hot potato. It later turned out that everybody said, look at what's happening in Cleveland and in Baltimore. We should have something like that. So that's what happened with that. But it was just something that I thought was good. And also, I was always a great proponent of women. When I was the mayor, I had at least 6 women who were directors of departments, because I thought they were capable and they should have an opportunity. That's not so now.
What do you think what would you like to see the present mayor accomplish in this town?
Well, don't raise taxes. That was always utmost in my mind, no matter what else I had to do. Now they claim that there's a big deficit. I don't believe that. They've never been able to show us how they arrive at these huge figures. We submitted a balanced budget, and balanced budget was honest and true. And I always, no matter what I had to do, I stayed within that budget. I would like, for one thing, to keep the taxes down. Don't raise taxes, because I know that will be an extreme hardship. We are an aging city anyhow, and made up of, I think, some huge percentage of senior citizens. So I would not like to see taxes raised under any condition. The next thing, of course, was a crime to prevent, make it a safer city. How that can be accomplished, I don't know, because every urban area in this country has a crime problem. I have believed for a long time, I think I told you this before, that it's more of a social problem than it is a crime problem. Somebody's got to look after these kids somewhere. Somehow it isn't being done. Now, how you make parents or guardians do things is another thing. Do the right thing is the word for it. But I think that I'd like to see crime. Now, of course, there are many other things. There's housing. We need more low-income housing for low income. All these things are very, very costly. And, you know, you just don't know where to start. There's so much of it that's needed.
What do you think about these gang leaders coming in and having a meeting? Legally,
I don't know how you could stop them. Anybody that wants to come to. I know when I was mayor, I stopped a lot of these crazy outfits from having rock concerts. I refused to give them a permit, no matter what they said, because I believed that even though we lost money, but there were blood in several of these names who wanted to go to the stadium or the civic arena. I would not allow them to come to Pittsburgh because I felt that they were just not good. But how you can prevent somebody from coming and having what they say is a peaceful meeting is another thing.
Excuse me. You, as mayor, you are the one who issues the permits?
The city department does.
And you could say, yes.
We couldn't keep them out altogether, but we made it so tough for them. We demanded that they hire thousands and thousands of dollars worth of the security people. And we made it so tough for them that it wasn't profitable. But I was determined to keep a lot of them out because I thought that they were potential for gang riots and things of that sort. So I tried to keep a lot of heavy steel outfits. When they told me there was somebody thinking about coming here, I immediately looked into their history in other cities. Did they start riots in other cities? Did they have peace problems in other cities? And if I thought they did, we'd make such unusual demands on them that they chose not to come. Some did come, but if you notice, by and large, we never had any big, heavy metal or outfits
right,
in town
yeah.
for that reason, because I was afraid of them, and I thought we were looking for trouble. And now as far as the summit thing that they want to have, I don't know how we can keep them out. Because they say they want to come to Pittsburgh and meet peacefully. You know, and so legally, I don't think we can keep them out. I do think it'll be a drain on our police because we'll have to pay overtime. We'll have to do all of these things to keep it peaceful. But I don't know of any way legally that you could keep them out.
What about the relationship between the mayor and the county commissioners?
Well, we're dealing with personalities. And personalities will never change. There are some people who have all kinds of personalities. Jealous, vindictive, mean. So that when you're dealing with personalities, you're really a victim of a lot of things. I remember, I think I told you this before too, I remember when I wanted to settle the bus strike or do something about it, I was not invited to any meetings. I called Commissioner Forster up and I said, where are we on the strike? And he said, we're not meeting for 10 days. And then I thought, here's 10 days of people not being able to get anywhere. And so I went to our law department and I said, let us go to court. Let us see if there's any law that we can invoke. When word got out that we were going to court to invoke a real old law, it was called the King's Law. Tom Forster called me up and he said to me, I don't want you to meddle. And I said to him, Tom, you would not say that to a man. What a term to use, meddle, you know, like as though you're some gossiping woman.
It turned out it was the best thing that ever happened, because we went to court, we invoked an old law, and the buses were back on the street in 2 days. Now, of course, we then went to court, and we had a lot of horsing around, but the buses went on the street, and they stayed on the street, and the people could get to jobs and hospitals and things. And that I considered was a great accomplishment, because I will tell you that that bus strike would have gone on for another couple of weeks.
How long was the bus strike on before? Do you remember
three or
that?
4 weeks, at least.
3 or 4 weeks.
Uh-huh. And when we went to court, we invoked the law, they were back on the street in 2 days. That doesn't seem like much, but you can't believe the anguish that I suffered over that. You know, I'd meet poor souls who'd say, I have to have kidney dialysis, I can't get there. I would ride around in the morning all over the streets picking people up myself that I felt so sorry for. I went everywhere. So I decided that we would pursue everything, and we did. And it turned out that in a couple of days the buses were back on the street. I was never forgiven for that, because I went over their hands. I went over this vast network of influential people, and union people, and government people, and Senator Specter was in town, and all these influential people who have appeared to me nothing was happening. But to get back to my relationship with commissioners, we really tried, I think. But to this day, Frank Locchino doesn't speak to me, because he contends that I should not have run. He thinks I should have stayed.
We have you can finish your thought.
He thought that I should have finished Caligiuri's term, and through some reasoning of his own, I should have stepped down. You know, why he thought that, I don't know. But that was his thought, and they never forgave me for that. And it was always strained relationships, always. It was always a tug of war. There were always episodes. We had to sue them to pay us our share of the hotel motel tax. The intent of the legislature was that it would be divided up among the city and the county and the municipality where they collected a motel tax. There weren't very municipalities that had hotels, motels. Monroeville was one of them, Pitcher was another. We finally had to sue the county. We got $15 million, the court finally awarded us. And now we're involved in that again. There was sort of an antagonism. It sort of leveled off a little bit. But I always felt that there was an underhand movement, I guess is the word. I was never invited to any of those things. When I went to anything that the city or county was involved in, it was because the city was involved, but I never was invited to any of their things. Matter of fact, I was not invited to the Warhol opening, and that began with me.
Well, we got to get some of that.
2 years ago, I was one of the ones who went to Governor Casey. 2 years ago, it began to get some money to start it. Not because I was real interested in Warhol, personally, but I was told it would be a great tourist attraction. It would be the only one of its kind in the country.
They made a big, really big
deal
out of it. Yeah,
and they had all of these festivities, and I was not invited to any of it when I was the one who had a lot to do at the beginning.
Okay, so. Wait, let's stop for a minute.